Welcome back to Innovation. I'm Kara Hetland, and joining me now for our monthly conversation is Dr. Ranjit Kudali. He's the Dean of the Graduate School and Chemistry Professor at the University of South Dakota. Dr. K, thanks for joining me today.
Kara, good afternoon.
So we're going to talk today about cleaning up some fuel emissions.
Absolutely. So this is a new work from the groups at Pacific National Laboratory and the University of New Mexico, and a collaborating group also in China. And essentially, the bottom line is this work has very remarkable industrial applications, namely in that they have developed some materials that could help boost exhaust cleanup.
And how will we do this?
Okay. So just to, we'll break it down and look at what we have currently in exhaust systems in automobiles, and then look at the science behind this work. So any internal combustion engine that is fueled by gasoline, gas as we call here, or petrol in other countries, or diesel, have what we call as catalytic converters. So these are essentially devices that will control the gases that are emitted from the exhaust. So when we are using gasoline or diesel, these are hydrocarbons. They have hydrogen and carbon atoms. And so when we combust them, we are essentially oxidizing them completely to carbon dioxide. However, in many instances, we have incomplete oxidation or combustion, and so these fuels are only partly combusted, and they form carbon monoxide, which we know is very dangerous. And so what these catalytic converters have is a catalyst that, one, will aim to convert carbon monoxide, any carbon monoxide that is produced due to incomplete combustion, to carbon dioxide, and also any unremaining hydrocarbons that have not been combusted to preferably carbon dioxide. Now, this was the case until the 1980s or so, Kara. These were called two-way catalysts, and since 1981, the Environmental Protection Agency has come with stricter regulations of exhaust emissions, and these two-way catalytic converters became obsolete. And now we have the new generation of catalytic converters that are called three-way converters, and the extra reaction that happens is the oxidation of nitrogen. So we know that many of these gasoline products, they have nitrogen atoms, and when they are burned in the internal combustion engine, they produce nitrous oxide, nitric oxide, and they also are greenhouse emitting gases like carbon dioxide. And so since the 1980s, the EPA has mandated that all automobiles should have a three-way catalyst that will also convert NO, it's called NOx with a subscript of X, basically any nitrogen-containing oxides to nitrogen. So we are using three-way catalysts in our automobiles, for example.
So it's there, but is it reducing the cleaning up the exhaust now?
Okay, so essentially now what we have in this three-way catalyst are four components. There is a block of solid material that is hollow, and that is called a monolith. So it has a honeycomb structure. So essentially these channels in this monolith will allow for these exhaust gases to come out of the tailpipe. And so that is called a support material, and that is made of relatively inexpensive materials. The common material that is used is called, it's a ceramic material. It's called corderite. It has aluminum, silicon, iron, magnesium, etc. And it's a mineral. It can be easily made into this monolithic honeycomb-like structure. And so there was no innovation in this work regarding this. And then on top of it, this material is what manufacturers do is put another material called a wash coat. Essentially, this is a material that will help in anchoring catalysts that can completely combust hydrocarbons to carbon dioxide, any carbon monoxide form to carbon dioxide, and any NOx gases emitted to nitrogen. So the wash coat is a material that will help in anchoring these catalysts. And then there is also another material that is used. It's an oxide material called ceria. So it's cerium oxide. And during the past 10, 20 years, researchers have found that this class of material, ceria or zirconia, they're very good in the role of oxygen storage promoter. And I'll come to that a little bit later. And then there is this final material that is a catalyst itself. It is this catalytic material where the innovation was reported in a publication last week. And this catalytic material that is normally used is precious metal. So there are a few choices here. Platinum is quite commonly used, and a combination of palladium or rhodium is also used in many catalytic converters. And in other countries, sometimes there have been attempts to use other inexpensive or earth-abundant materials. So the innovation in this work came from their ability to anchor these precious catalytic materials, namely platinum. And what the authors actually found in this study was that they found ways, which is quite counterintuitive, to enhance the durability of this platinum on the wash coat material. So that's where the innovation in this work came about.
And does it have to do with the temperature of the steam passing through?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's a good point. So the method that they developed for ensuring the durability of these very fine platinum catalytic material is by a process that is called as hydrothermal or steam treatment. So essentially what they did was they had in their laboratory a cerium oxide material prepared, and they anchored platinum ions onto that cerium oxide materials, and they actually used steam treatment up to high temperatures, 750 degrees centigrade, and then they looked at the ability of these steam-treated platinum-containing ceria materials for its ability to convert carbon monoxide into carbon dioxide. So their research was done under laboratory conditions. It was not done using this material in an actual car or an automobile, for example, but their interest was to see how fast and how low a temperature should be needed to convert carbon monoxide to carbon dioxide using the steam-activated material in comparison to a non-steam-activated catalyst.
And then can we apply this to other types of fueled engines throughout in different applications?
Oh, absolutely. So that this is where I think this work is fascinating in the sense that regulations in Europe and in the United States are going to become much more stricter in the coming years. And so we need advances in catalytic technologies to meet these high emission standards. And one of the interesting things is that these catalysts should have to be quite active at relatively low temperatures. So currently, it is very difficult for these catalysts to be activated at very low temperatures. So this extreme treatment that these scientists have reported provides an opportunity for converting CO, carbon monoxide, to carbon dioxide at relatively lower temperatures, and 100% conversion of carbon monoxide to carbon dioxide takes place at around 150 centigrade, which is significantly lower than conventional catalysts that require up to almost 300 degrees centigrade. So that is one of the biggest innovations in this work. And what is also fascinating is that this catalyst, despite heating to high temperatures, 750 degrees for its preparation, does not undergo a process that we call sintering. Sintering is a technical term used for a situation where these finely dispersed, very small nanoparticles, they come together when they are heated. And so that was quite counterintuitive to me, Kara, to see that when you heat a material to very high temperatures, they don't have the ability to sinter. So the authors have really found a way to prepare catalytic converters that are highly durable, and but most importantly, can operate at lower temperatures.
Huh. Other news happening in the chemistry world, Dr. K?
Well, the Science Journal, which is published by the American Association for the Advancement of Science, has picked a series of molecules of the year. So they have their final issue in December that talks about interesting science that has been done for the year, and also including, it also acknowledged the Nobel Prize that was given for cryo-transmission electron microscope, something that we discussed previously here on SDPB.
How about your students? Are they working on any innovative projects?
Well, one of the projects that we will be looking at in the very near future is a project that that we actually also briefly talked about previously, is using nanotechnology to deliver drugs to the brain. So this is a collaborative project along with Professor Gina Foster in the Sanford School of Medicine, where we are looking at ways and means to administer drugs to the brain. The brain has this blood-brain barrier that precludes easy passage of viruses, bacteria, and other toxic impurities to the brain. So it protects the brain from unwanted chemicals and drugs, but it also poses challenges because it has these tight junctions of these endothelial cells, and so it is very hard for drugs to penetrate the blood-brain barrier. That's why diseases of the brain, such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's disease, Huntington's disease, many of them, they are quite difficult to cure because you have to administer these drugs over a long course of period. And so we are trying to see how we can use nanoparticles that have some specialized components, peptides, neuropeptides that can bind to some selective sites near the blood-brain barrier. And these nanoparticles are essentially carriers or transporters for taking these drugs to cross the blood-brain barrier. So that is a project that we want to continue. We just actually got our first paper published about a month back showing proof of concept that some iron oxide nanoparticles can be used to cross the blood-brain barriers. And so that's one project where we are having it's an interdisciplinary project where we have a neuroscientist working with the nanotechnology. Now, there are also other projects that are closely related to the area in which I received training, where we are trying to make some materials that can effectively harness solar energy. And so that is a long-term project that we are pursuing. A closely related project is trying to develop some nanomaterials that can remove environmental pollutants such as dyes from aqueous sources or organics like phenols, etc., from toxic waste.
Now, you were on with Lori Walsh talking about tax reform, and President Trump signed it into law today. Your reaction to that?
Well, so one of the concerns that higher education administrators had, Kara, was the impact of these tax reforms on higher education. So one of the most contentious topics in the bill was was related to the graduate student tuition remission. So graduate students, they are usually they either perform teaching or do research during their graduate studies. And they are compensated for their service. So we have graduate teaching assistants, graduate research assistants, graduate clinical assistants. So the universities usually also try to provide an incentive for students to pursue their graduate education. And depending on the institution, they either fully waive the graduate tuition or provide partial reimbursement of their graduate tuition. So that is a money that the students will never actually see. Mm-hmm. So that is a tuition that is fully reimbursed or partly reimbursed. And so our worry for deans of the graduate schools was that the original House bill had proposed that waiver would be gone away, whereas that provision was preserved in the Senate. So due to intense lobbying, advocacy, and protest by student groups, the graduate student tuition remission is excluded from the final bill, which gives a sigh of relief for graduate students. So as it is, graduate students are just paid, you know, very often they're paid minimum living wages, and then they have to support themselves, sometimes their family. And so we felt that it was a financial burden for graduate mm-hmm. students to have their graduate tuition also be counted as taxable income.
I appreciate your taking time and coming on the program today, and we will talk with you again next month.
Oh, thank you, Kara, for giving me the opportunity, and happy holidays to all the listeners.
Thank you.